Father, I thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, as we enter the Word of God today. Let the light shine in our hearts, giving us understanding and hope. Hallelujah. Giving us faith, bubbling us in us, wells of water, springing onto eternal life. Thank you for the lamp. The Word of God is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Give understanding also to the simple. So let it be on here this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Welcome again, everyone. Good morning. Good afternoon. Believe. Hallelujah. You know, the Lord put in my heart that I'm going to be from time to time coming this year, coming with encouraging, lifted up messages, because as we've said before, faith sees the promise, but believing is what's going to get you there. So we got to keep on believing, no matter what it looks like at the moment. You know, so that's our lesson. It's going to be our lesson is going to be around that today. It's called God Always Has One More Move. And don't you give up now. Praise the Lord. So, a few stories from the Bible. Some of these stories we've heard before, but let's put it together in this light. No matter what your situation is or the situation you find yourself in, as long as God's in that situation, well, it's not over yet. Even when the enemy has you cornered, he's got things that he got you beat. Well, God always has one more move. You can say that God holds the trump card. He always has an ace up his sleeve, and he's going to use it in your favor. And we see so many stories in the Bible, and I pray that we will get encouragement out of this today. I'll go through quickly some stories. I don't know how many of it I'll be able to do here. But, you know, the first story, you know, that comes to mind, you know, despite all the things that he went through, is Joseph. The devil trying to destroy his life. First of all, the would-be destroyers in his family. And all this stuff, and he getting cast into prison and all of that. You know the story, you know. But when it seemed like all hope was lost, even the person that was restored, the butler that was restored to his place in the palace, forgot him for the next 2 years. And Joseph had appealed to him, when you get back there, please remember me. I am here. I was taken from my house. And even here, I've done nothing wrong. And he told him his story. And he appealed to the man. Just say a good word for me before the king. You know, but as soon as the man was restored, forgot all about him for the next 2 years. And during that whole time, it's like, well, you're never going to get out of this place. We'll see about all those dreams now. The devil will be keep telling him that, you know, while he was in prison. There's nobody else that's going to help him to get him out of there. His last hope looked like now forgot to him. You know, when the man left, I'm thinking Joseph is saying, I'm sure soon this man will speak to the king about me. Maybe they'll call me. Ask me my story or whatever. Yeah. 1 day passes, 1 week, 1 month, 5 months, 6 months, a year. And he goes on and on. So finally, he probably just gave up his mind. Well, you know, I'm just going to have to trust the Lord. But I don't know what he was thinking. But there seemed to be no hope. The devil says, well, you're going to rot in this dungeon. You're going to rot in this prison. Nowhere to go. But ladies and gentlemen, men and brethren, the God of heaven, he always has one more move. That's right. And the move that the Lord would have in this case, not only would get Joseph out of there, but God timed it perfectly to where suddenly he would be elevated. You can call it a quantum leap if you want, you know, but the man who forgot him, on the day that the king was looking for someone to interpret his dreams, he remembered the dreams, but nobody could interpret. And he kept asking his soothsayers, astrologers, the magicians, whoever were around him, to interpret the dream. Nobody could do it. And at that moment, the butler finally remembered, said, I remember my fault this day. This and this and this happened to us when the king was wrath with me and the baker cast us into prison. That was this young man, you know, from the land of the Jews and such and such. And he interpreted my dream and also the baker's dream. What he said to him befell him, and what he said to me befell me. I am sure this man can interpret your dreams. Wow. Upon hearing that, you know the rest of the story. Joseph was called out of prison. He had to quickly clean up himself, come before the king. Of course, now he really doesn't know what the king's going to say, you know, because nobody told him that, oh, you're going to interpret the king's dream. Just say, the king wants you. And so when he gets there, he sees the butler. Butler is trying to hide in the corner somewhere. But, you know, king says to him, I've heard say of you that you can interpret dreams. So now all of a sudden, I'm sure Joseph is saying, Lord, help me now. So, but, you know, as the Lord will give him inspiration in the moment when he heard that dream, my goodness, the inspiration came and he interpreted the dream. And not only did he interpret the dream, the inspiration of the Almighty came to give him incredible knowledge, solution, wisdom, what to do. It wasn't just his interpretation. It was the counsel that he gave, the sound counsel that he gave. And the king said, well, where can we find such a man in whom is the spirit of the gods that can do this? You will be the man. And so, see how God turned that situation around. When the devil thought he had him finished, God pulled something out. And at the end of the day, he ruled over the whole land. Of course, you know the story. And you can read all of that. Genesis chapter 41, verses 38 to about 44. How he stood before Pharaoh and what he said and what Pharaoh said in turn. I am Pharaoh. And you are Joseph. And without you, will no one lift a finger out of all this land. And let all the everybody bow the knee to Joseph. What he says goes. You know, Pharaoh never knew this man. You know, but God also put it in Pharaoh's mind to trust what this man was saying because of what the butler said. Butler had returned into favor with Pharaoh at that time. And God timed it perfectly. And he was able to do it. And including Potiphar and his wife, who conspired against Joseph to send him to prison, all of them had to bow the knee to Joseph. Praise the Lord. I would have loved to have seen the look in Potiphar's face and his wife as well. When now they had to bow to Joseph. Praise the Lord. And of course, all his brethren who thought they would finish him off, they ended up having to bow to him as well. God will always have one more move and he'll pull it up. When you think all is gone, it's never over yet, as long as God is in that situation. What about Moses? Standing at, you know, The Red Sea, Exodus 14, with the children of Israel, Pharaoh charging down behind them. The only thing kept them at bay was the pillar of fire. And Pharaoh in his heart said, I got you right where I want you. I'm going to finish you off. And he says to Moses, your God is a poor general. Look at where he got you. I've got you now. And in his mind, he's thinking, well, they have nowhere to go. They can't cross the Red Sea. There's no way. This is where we'll finish them up. So he's waiting for all his chariots to catch up because, you know, God was also going to sucker them in. They didn't know that, but they thought, well, you know, we're going to get them. And so, you know, but the Lord has one more move. Whether it's the Red Sea that's in front of you and it seems, you know, insurmountable or unpassable, no matter what it is, it's never over yet. As long as the Lord is with you, he's got one more move up his sleeve that he can pull out. And the devil will never have the last word. He thought he did. And so God suckered them in when he took away the pillar of fire. After the children of Israel passed through on dry ground, heaped up the waters on either side. Who ever seen such a thing? You know, the singular, most spectacular miracle in that Old Testament. It happened right there. And of course, you know, all the Egyptians were finished that day. God having one more move to deliver the children of Israel. What about this, you know, widow? Is called a widow. She's called a widow at Zarephath. In 1 Kings chapter 17, you know, she's down to her last meal and she's going to gather a couple of sticks and go home, bake her last meal, hold her son really dear in her heart, in her arms, close to her heart, and say to him, well, don't worry, son, I'm right here. I'm right here with you. Don't be afraid. I'm right here. And she's thinking, how in the world am I going to do this? I'm going to hold him tight. This is our last meal and we are going to die. Because the famine had been so sore and severe in the land. And she had nothing left. You know, her husband was gone. There was no breadwinner. She had nothing going for her. Except this last meal. And today is our last meal and we're going to die. You know, and so she had almost given up hope. In fact, she had given up hope because that's what she said to Elijah. I have nothing in the house except this little thing and I'm going to go bake this last meal. My son and I will eat it and we will die. That's what she said. But God always has one more move. And Elijah spoke by the word of the Lord. Nobody is dying today. Not today. Not tomorrow. Not even for many days. For thus saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The barrel of meal cannot waste. And the crucifix will not fail. Glory to God. And God pulled out something incredible there. You know, it wasn't exactly for the sake of Elijah. God was already sustaining him at the brook. Said, I've commanded the ravens there to sustain thee. Now go to the brook Cherith. And he went. And the ravens brought him room service twice a day. And so God could continue to sustain him there. But in order for God to meet that woman at the point of her desperation, God allowed the brook to dry up. And God told Elijah, I have commanded the widow woman to feed you. Well, it's actually both ways. God was going to get two for one. Not only would the widow woman sustain Elijah. But the Elijah coming there was going to do something incredible that will sustain this woman. God pulled something out for that woman, even at the last minute when she thought there was nothing else. That was the story of yet another desperate widow in 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 and 7. And she said, look, my husband is dead. You know, and you know, my husband feared the Lord, but he's gone now. And we have nothing left. And even the creditors have come to take my sons into slavery because I can't pay. And she cried unto the man of God. And so she was about to lose her children. She was about to also lose her freedom. And the children are about to lose their freedom. They're going to be taken into slavery. It's over. But it's not over yet. It's over is what she thought. But it's not over yet. God still has one more move. And it's coming out of nowhere. And God's saving that trump card just for you. That's right. He's got that ace up his sleeve. And he's saving it just for you. And the man of God, God put that word in his mouth. What do you have in the house? Nothing. Except a small pot of oil. The prophet said, it is enough. Here's what you're going to do. Glory to God. Go borrow vessels, not a few. And shut the door and pour out the oil and set it aside and pour out some more and set it aside. And she went and did that. And lo and behold, as the sons brought the pots, she filled the oil. Bring me another pot, they brought. Bring me. So they went abroad to all their neighbors. We beg of you, lend us a few pots. We'll bring them back in a few days. They gladly lent it to them. And so finally she said, bring me yet another pot. And the son said, there are no more. And then and only then, see, then and only then did the oil stop flowing. As long as there was yet one more pot, you know, and I thought one day, I said, Lord, what if she kept bringing, or the children kept bringing pots to her till this day? Would that oil have kept flowing? And the Lord said, you know the answer to that. Absolutely. It will have kept flowing till this day if there was yet another pot. And but you see, the story here today is about one woman that was desperate, that had nowhere to go, that thought it was all over, yet God pulled something out for her. That's the story here today. We've told four of these cases already. What about the four lepers in 2 Kings chapter 7? Verses 3 to 10. Their hope was finished. If we stay here, we're going to die. If we go into the city, which they couldn't anyway, because they were banished. Lepers were to be outside. You know, and they said, well, the famine is so sore in there. And even if we go there by some chance, we're going to die anyway. And if we stay here, we're going to die. So what are we going to do? Well, here's what we're going to do. The Syrians that had encamped around and cut off all their supplies said, well, let's just go in there. Maybe they'll save us alive. Maybe they'll kill us. If they kill us, we're not any worse anyway. We're going to die one way or another. The only thing in this situation that was unknown was this chance that they're about to take. There are two things that were known. If we stay here, we're going to die. If we go into the city, we are going to die. There is one place that we may or may not die. Well, let's take the chance. But these other ones we know, we're certainly going to die. But lo and behold, in a moment, the Lord changed that whole story. God always has a move. The move in this particular case was to the effect that God would confirm the word of the man of God that said before, the day before, behold, saith the Lord, by this time tomorrow, such and such will happen. Things will be an overflow. So cheap. And so God, in one moment, as these four lepers were going with their heart in their mouth to the camp of the Syrians. Maybe they'll kill us, or maybe not. We don't know. They might take us for slaves, or they might even kill us. They might make mockery of us. We don't know what they're going to do. But God turned their footsteps into the sound of thunderous hoofs. Thunderous hoofs that sounded like chariots and horses and things. They were just four lepers. Couldn't do nothing. You know, but God made their footsteps sound as if it was thunderous hoofs that were coming. The Syrians fled. God put a delusion upon them. And they fled. My goodness. In one moment, God turned all that around. God pulling something else out too. Whenever people said, it's over, you know, we're finished, God will pull something out to show his greatness, to show that he can do it. And these are lessons that I want to share with us today to encourage us. You know these stories, but I want to encourage you today. You know, hallelujah. What about Jehoshaphat when he was outnumbered? In 2 Chronicles 20, the children of Ammon, you know, Moab and Mount Seir outnumbered them. In fact, each one of those armies outnumbered them, let alone three times. And they were outnumbered. And it was like, we have nowhere to go, but our eyes are upon you. Hallelujah. You know, but there was no way they could win. They were already outnumbered. And there seemed to be no way out. They're going to lose this battle. In fact, because these people are raging, they are strong armies, and they're greater in number than us. What are we going to do? But the Lord will always have one more move. Hallelujah. One more move. Glory to God. Well, the move in this case, you know, was that the Lord was going to put a delusion another time that he put delusion against upon people. Come put delusion against these three armies. They came together, they banded together, but now the Lord's going to put delusion on them. Mount Seir looked at Moab, thought they were Israel. And they begin to fight them and kill one another. Two of them rather. At first, two of them combined together, looked at the third company, say, well, let's fight. We thought this one is Israel. They fought and killed that third company. And when they finished, the Lord put another delusion against them. They thought that the other person was their own enemy. And they began to destroy each other. And they destroyed one another. And the children of Israel had to do nothing other than praise the beauty of holiness. So the Lord, he pulled something else out. He's done that many times. We saw that even in the story of Hezekiah and Sennacherib, that the Lord pulled something else out like that. You know, when Sennacherib sent, you know, to chide the living God and say, don't let Hezekiah think that your God or his God will save you. Has any of the gods of the nations saved them whom we destroyed and cast into the fire? We're going to do the same thing here. And it looked like, you know, Hezekiah even called to Isaiah and said, today is a day of woe. Today is a gloomy day. He said, because the children have come to the birth, but there is no strength to bring them forth. There is shame, there is reproach all over the land today. Today, our enemy will destroy us probably, but God gave enough sense into his head to pray a different kind of prayer. It was a prayer that he said, Lord, save us from his hand so that all the nations of the world may know that you are the God in heaven. Hallelujah. And I've often spoken about that when you turn things around like that, make it about God's fight, make it for God to defend his own name, not just save us, O Lord, that we be not destroyed, not just save us, O Lord, that our wives be not widows, not just save us, O Lord, that our children become not fatherless, Not just save us, O Lord, that our land be not destroyed, but save us, O Lord, that your name may be magnified, you know. And when you make God, you know, put God in a situation like that, when you challenge him to defend his name, remember, I've often said his word is his bond and his name is his reputation, and he will stand up. And he did. And one night, an angel of the Lord, 185,000 souls, you know, from the other armies that were destroyed, all in one night. And this was the against the army that boasted and said, look, we are going to finish you off just like we finished everybody else off, and cast them into their gods into the fire. And Hezekiah said, of course they did, but they were no gods. But you are the God. Hallelujah. And so the Lord, he pulled out one more move there. Glory to God. Now, you can read, you know, all of that story in Isaiah 36 and 37. But let's continue here with some more stories of where God pulled things out here and there. What about the story of Mordecai and Haman, which we have talked about here multiple times? Esther chapter 6, verses 1 to 12. Just when Haman thought he had Mordecai right where he wanted him, and he was going to get permission to not only kill Mordecai, but all the Jews. Just when he thought he had the upper hand. Of course, his friends even told him, look, if Mordecai be of the seed of the Jews, before whom you have begun to fall, you will not prevail against him. Esther 6 and verse 13. And you know how the Lord turned the story. He turned the story right around when Mordecai came in to ask the king for permission to destroy everybody. The night before, the angel of the Lord had troubled the king so that he could not sleep. That's right. The angel of the Lord troubled him. He could not sleep. And so he tried everything, couldn't. And he finally asked them to bring him something to read. They could have brought him anything to read, but they brought him the chronicles and the journals of happenings around the kingdoms. And he began to read, and the Lord led him to where the place where he found the acts of Mordecai. How that he had sent and saved the king. He heard about insurrections. He heard about plots to assassinate the king. And he gave intelligence enough to cause this king to escape. And they were able to arrest the evil plotters at the time. And it was recorded. And Mordecai was the one that did that twice. And so the king said, wow, this Mordecai, man. Was anything ever done for him? And the chamberlain said, no. I said, why not? Well, I said, okay. Well, I am resolved what I'm going to do. I must promote this man, for he has saved the life of the king twice. And who's in the court? I always love this story. My goodness, I talked about it when I spoke on divine appointments. God appointed that moment to turn the tables and to make your enemy serve you up on that table. That's right. And so Mordecai, at that very moment, who's in the court? The king could have sent one of the chamberlains, but he didn't. And at that very moment, this man came in the court. Now, who is in the court? Mordecai. Oh, come on in. You know, the king said, listen, before you say anything, if the king wants to promote somebody and do them really great, what should the king do? He thinking, well, who else would the king do? Because he was just promoted, the king and the queen, everybody, you know. He said, oh, there's nobody else that I'm me that the king would promote. So he began to pile it on. But let the king give him his chariot. Let the king give him his robe. Let the king give him his ring. Let the king give him his crown. Let the king give, I mean, really? And the king said, okay, well, you go and see to it and do exactly what you have said and see that you diminish nothing from all that you have said and do to Mordecai as you have said and proclaim throughout the land that the knee should be bowed to him. He said that out of his own mouth, Haman did, because Mordecai would never bow to him. So he thought this is the opportunity to get him. And but the Lord turned the tables. God always having that one last move against your enemies and your would-be destroyers that try to come up against you. God will always pull something out. You know, what about Shadrach? You can read that Esther 6 chapter. What about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? In Daniel chapter 3, verses 13 to about 30, when Nebuchadnezzar thought he's going to throw them in the fire. Well, furious. I'm going to give you one last chance. When the music plays, you bow. And you worship my gods. And then at the penalty of death, you know, you can save your lives. And they heated up the place seven times when the children, you know, those young men, they said, look, king, we're not going to do it. We're not going to bow. Our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us, and he will. Glory to God. And I've often said that too. I said, look, you know, your faith in the power of God to deliver you out of the situation is non-negotiable. You must believe and know that God is able to do it and that he will do it. That one, you must settle it in your heart. You know, be persuaded and settle it. And then he said, well, but even if God, for whatever reason, does not deliver us, yet we will not bow. And the king said, what audacity. I'm offering you your life. And so heat it up seven times. Throw them in there. And even the people that heated it up and threw them in there, of course, the king himself was hiding behind some fireproof glass looking. And, you know, the flames swallowed those people up. And as soon as they threw these ones in, bound hand and foot so that they could not escape and be burnt. The next thing the king saw, like, what? He saw, we cast three people in bound hand and foot. How come I see four men loose walking around and there's no hurt in them? And this fourth person looks like the son of God. Woo-hoo! Glory to God. God pulled them out also again out of that place where the devil thought he had them. Daniel chapter 6 from verses 10 to about 28, cast into the land. Then, because his would-be destroyers, his enemies who were jealous of him, envious that he was always being promoted, could not find anything that they could accuse him of. They said, well, I tell you what, you know, this man is perfect in all his ways. We're never going to find fault in him. But I tell you what, you know, in the law of his God, he's not going to yield. So let's get the king to make something contrary to the law of his God. And that's how we're going to get it. So they came up with this scheme. Well, the king, innocently, or I should say, being so naive, he signed the thing. And then turned out that it was, the king actually liked Daniel. Turned out that the thing was against Daniel. But unfortunately for the king, it's too late. According to the law of the Medes and Persians, when you put that stamp on it, you cannot reverse it. It was too late. And so, of course, Daniel, he wouldn't give an inch. Decree or no decree, law or no law, he continued to pray to his God, just like he did before. And they say, aha, we knew it. this man has disobeyed your decree. Did you not sign into law that no man should serve or worship or bow down to any other god 30 days except you? They knew that they're going to get Daniel within 30 days. And they said, you know, so the king had no choice. And so the devil said, den of lions, we got you now. Threw him in there, sealed it up. But God always has one more move. One more move. Close the mouth of the lions. And Daniel, had a good night's sleep. You know, some of those big lions, and they were giant ones, you know, the big male ones with the big mane around their head. That was a nice cushion as a pillow for Daniel. He slept soundly. You know, and they just, you know, the lions were just quiet. They were just around him and no hurt at all. And the king himself could not sleep. Comes early in the morning. Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom thou servest every day continually, has he been able to save you? Daniel, answer me. And Daniel said, O king, live forever. There's nothing happened to me here, in as much as there was no guile found in my mouth. God sent his angel, closed the mouth of the lions. Woo-hoo. And the king said, my goodness, I knew it. I knew it. Bring him out of there. I brought him out of there. He said, gather all those men that accuse him. Throw them in there. And the lions made mastery of them before they even got down to the bottom. God always having one more move. He pulled it out too. You know, in Acts chapter 12, you know, Herod, he put out his hand and got a hold of James and killed him. And he saw that it was pleased the people. So he got a hold of Peter also. I mean, the James thing happened quickly before even the disciples and the rest of the brethren heard about it. But then when he took a hold of Peter and put him in prison, they heard about it and they said, not this time. Oh, no. You know, and they got together and began to pray. And Herod said in his heart, I'm going to bring this man out after the feast and kill him before all the people. You know, I am going to make an open show of him, kill him before all the people. And there will be great shout. And just, you know, those people, they loved to see people killed, thrown into the lion's den. Killed, beheaded, and everything. They would be shouting. They were crazy folks back then. You know, they were just crazy. They loved it. They loved to see blood. Now, Herod knew that what he did to James pleased the people, so was going to do this to Peter as well. And when he was in prison, the devil said, yep, I got you right where I want you right now. Tomorrow, the king is going to bring you out and kill you before all the people. What you going to do then? Well, God said, I got the answer. The Lord always having yet one more move. And right about in the night, the angel of the Lord, because the believers were praying, and the Lord sent his angel, stood right before this man who was in prison. Chains fell off his feet. Gates opened up to them, brought him out of there. I guarantee you, when the guards got there in the next day and saw everything was empty, it was like, oh my goodness, what happened? God happened. That's right. The God of deliverance, sir. The God of miracles, sir. The God that is able by his great power to save you. That's what happened. God came and pulled Peter out of that prison before the devil could get him. God said, it's not over yet. Devil said, it's over. You're finished. Tomorrow they're going to bring you out and kill you before all the people. The Lord said, we'll see about that. And he pulled him out of there. God will always have an answer. One more move. What about Paul and Silas in Acts chapter 16? Similar story. They were in prison. But at midnight, we're told that Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. They were not grumbling or complaining, but they sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. And then, next thing you know, power of God, the angel of the Lord, he can bust you out of prison. Came in there upon them, busted them out of, busted their chains, busted the bars, gates of brass, bars of iron, everything, earthquake and so forth, you know. My goodness. And even out of it came salvation to the jailer. That's right. You know, God pulled them out of there when the devil thought he had them cornered. Nowhere to go. And on and on and on, we can tell these stories. The last I'll tell you is that Christ himself. Glory to God. Jesus. When the devil got him on that cross, mocked him. Why don't you come out, come down from that cross? Save yourself and save us too. But ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you this. Prophetically speaking today, stay on the cross. Don't come down. That's a message also in there for you today. Stay on the cross. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Galatians 2 and 20. Well, stay crucified. Don't come down from that cross. Stay right there. Put that flesh on the cross. Put that flesh on fire. You know, let it die. The death. Hallelujah. And the devil, he got him killed. And he said, aha. You know, the scripture says, well, if they had known it, they would not have killed the King of Glory. But they didn't know it. They thought he got him. But Jesus, the power of God, had one more move. Bust him out of the graves. Hallelujah. Bible say, that will not keep my soul in hell. Neither will I suffer that Holy One to see corruption. And right about when it was time, after 3 days and three nights. Well, right there we know he didn't die on Friday or wake up on Sunday. Oh no, it was 3 days and three nights. As Jonah was in the belly of the whale for 3 nights and 3 days, so will the Son of Man be. Took exactly that long. And come out of that grave with power. Glory to God. And the angel said, why look ye for the living among the dead? He's not here. He's risen. Glory to God. And Jesus, you know, turned all that around. Because he had a plan. The enemy, the devil said to him, look, just bow down. I give you all these things that are given unto you. And Jesus said, no, I'll never do it. Because thou will worship only the Lord thy God. But he had a plan to pay the ransom. And there was a plan. You know, you pay the ransom, you know, the guiltless for the guilty, the sinless for all the sinful people, and God saving all the sinful people of this world by one man's death. That was the plan. And he pulled it out. And when the devil thought that, you know, he's going to slip, you know, slamming in that grave, living there forever, he came out of that grave. When the devil also thought that, look, the whole world is finished. All these things are delivered into my hands. God had one more move. I can go on and on and on. What about the story of Lazarus? There in the four, you know, in the grave, 4 days, family crying, everything. But Jesus always that one more move. And I know at the beginning of this lesson, you guys were thinking what came to mind. Talking about the game of chess. Well, I love the game of chess. You know, I love it. I used to play championship chess when I was a kid. Because it's a thinking man's game. And, you know, the great chess players, they can look many moves ahead. Yeah, the mediocre chess players, they can't do that. They just wait for their opponent to make a move, and then they think and think and think, you know, and sometimes they make the wrong move. But some of these great chess players, they can come right there and make one move where you will not have another move. Every move you make after that puts your queen in a check situation, and you cannot have any more moves to make, then it's called checkmate. because you cannot have any other place to go. Every move you make after that puts you in a check situation. Then it's checkmate. It's game over. Now, let me put it to you this way. The devil can never checkmate a child of God. Can't do it. When he got you cornered, thinking you have no more move, you make this move, say check. You make that move, say check. You make that move, is a check. Then it's checkmate. Devil can't do it. Can never do it. He can never checkmate you as long as God is with you. Now, if you don't know the name of the game of chess, you may not understand that. But if you know it, you know what I'm talking about. But on the other hand, the Lord can checkmate that devil right out of the box. You know, because God knows every move that the devil is ever going to make. Every move. Now, the devil, on the other hand, he has to wait for you or God to make a move first, and then he'll try to foul it up. You know, because he's not omniscient like that. But God, he knows every move. And because the Lord knows the moves that the devil is going to make to put you in a corner, the Lord knows the move that the devil is making against you right now, because you may be in the corner, your backs may be against the wall, and the devil may be saying, I got you right where I want you. And God said, no, I got one more move. God's, why do you call him Savior? Well, coming to save the day, to use contemporary language. You know, God always saved the day, and he always has one more move. So don't give up. That's our lesson today. Don't give up. No matter how long it lasts, don't give up. You know, and some of the other great stories in this Bible, women that were barren for a long time and almost gave up. But God always having one more move. And when they would bring forth eventually, my goodness, check out all these stories. Samuel, his mother Hannah, was barren for a long time. Her adversary, the other woman in the marriage, made fun of her the whole time. She despaired. She almost despaired of life. Give me a son, lest I die. Give me, you know, to her husband. And the husband said, am I in the place of God? Don't you consider that I'm better to you than 10 sons? And no, you're not. I want my own son. And she cried, poured out her heart before the Lord. And a year after year, it seemed as if there was nothing going on there. But my goodness, when the Lord came through, one of the most powerful prophets came out of there in that Old Testament. What about Elizabeth? Everybody said was barren, and Zechariah's, you know, and she had that reproach for a long time. But at the end of the day, it was said of John the Baptist, Jesus himself said it, of all that are born of women. But this was a forerunner. Out of that whole thing came John the Baptist. You can go on and on and on. You know, God always having one more move. And it will turn the tables in your favor and will never give that devil the upper hand against you. Well, that's our exhortation and our lesson for today. And I'm going to pray over the room. I want us to know that God will always have one more move. You know, it could be illnesses that you are facing. You know, there was a man facing his illness for how long? 38 years. The man in John chapter 5. And he never could get quickly enough into that water. And it was like, look, I keep trying, but somebody always steps in ahead of me. One day, You know, there's always one day. Hallelujah. One day. In fact, I'd like everybody in this room to say one day. You know, one day. There's always one day. Yeah. Put it in the chat room. One day. You know, there will be a day of visitation from the Lord. You know, you never know. The devil will say, well, I got you cornered. I got all these things and so forth. But the Lord said, no, I got one more move. And, you know, when the Lord shows up, it's always a different story. Always a different story. John chapter 9, the man was blind, born blind, even for 40 years. And yet, one day, that story was changed. Hallelujah. God always has one more move. Even the great Goliath that came up against the children of Israel in 1 Samuel 17, and everybody cowered in the corner. God had yet one more move from a little boy with 5 smooth stones from the brook. There was always one more move in God's corner to bring down and slay the giant. Hallelujah. Now, Lord, I pray over this room today. Glory to God. One more move. And one day, you know, and one day, the Bible says, it shall be the day. At even time, it shall be light again. Just when you thought, you know, it was darkest, the light will break again. In the darkest hours, sorrow, we are told, may endure for a night. But God's got one more move to bring the light of day. Hallelujah. And that night can never last forever. Now, so lift up your heads today, O ye gates, and let the King of Glory come on in. And whatever your situation today, it could be illness, it could be sickness, it could be whatever. It could be burdens. I've spoken about that so many times on this platform, that the failure put upon them. But God has a way that he's going to pull out one more move. So whenever you think your backs are against the wall, remember the God of the move. Thank you, Jesus. One more move. He can do it. He can also be seen as a God of the 11th hour. In Matthew 20, they stood around all day long, caught nothing. I mean, got no jobs. But at the end of the day, even in the last hour, Jesus, one more move. Put them in, and they got the same like everybody else. Even in the last moment, God can give a quantum leap, and they can get as many, the same blessings as the ones who had labored all day long. What about Peter, who caught nothing in Luke 5? But in one moment, and they had packed in their nets and they had given up. But don't give up now, is the story today, or the lesson today. Don't you give up. And just you wait and see. That was the song I played. Just you wait and see. There's always one more move. One ace up the Lord's sleeve. One more move that he can pull out. And Lord, I thank you for this lesson. And at the end of the age, there's one more move that the Lord's going to pull out to checkmate that devil. And he's standing right before the woman ready to be born. And he says, I will swallow up the child as soon as he's born. If I can't prevent the birth, then I'm going to swallow it up as he's born. And God always has one more move. Glory to God. Raptured to heaven. And put a rod of iron in his hand too to rule the nations. God will checkmate that devil in the thunders. Finally. At the end of the age. He'll never do it to you, but God will do it to him. I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. For everyone that's in the room today, whose hands may be down, whose head may be bowed down, whose knees may be feeble, who might have said, where is our help? Where is the God of my help? And the enemy may have tried it against you. People might have said, where is your God? And the devil thought he got you right where he wants you. Because you pray, and it doesn't seem like there's any hope. You trusted the Lord, it doesn't seem like it's working. You believe God, it doesn't look like it's going to happen. Day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year. But lo and behold, the Lord has one more move for you. And what is his move for you today? The words that I have spoken shall no longer be delayed. According to Ezekiel chapter 12, 25 and 28. Lord, I pray that the words of God that you have spoken over your people from time to time, that which you have spoken by your mouth, let it be verified by your hand in the lives of your people as it is this day, in Jesus' name. And strengthen and encourage everyone to not give up and not give in. The Lord is the one that's able to take and call things that are not, even as though they are. Can call Lazarus out of the grave. Can do all these things that we have talked about today. And he can even open up the Red Sea when the devil said, you've got no place to go. The Lord will pull something out to baffle even the bystanders. As people will now say, wow, see what the Lord has done for him. See what the Lord has done for her. And you will get renown and fame even among the people, the Lord said. Bless all your people this morning with these words of encouragement. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.